T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Join us tomorrow. We're broadcasting from Rudy's Golf and Sports Bar in Kingstown, Alexandria. Ahead of opening day for the Nats, they've got a two-level driving range with Top Tracer technology, multiple putt-putt courses, and a full, delicious restaurant. Fun for the entire family. Go to rudysgolf.com. They are the new go-to spot for golf and entertainment.
Here's a little Who Am I action for your Washington Nationals. You'll need all three hints. We'll give one each segment this hour. Here's your first one. I am a right-handed hitter. You'll need it to win those Nats tickets later on today.
Two more hints, one each segment this hour. Three hints are going to add up to one player. If you know who the player is, after hint number three, you call in. You're the first caller in at 800-636-1067 to correctly tell us which national Danny's hinting at. You're winning the opening day tickets. Let's get to the Beltway Blitz. We'll start you out with Andrew Golden of the Washington Post on the Nats, who open their season tomorrow. Andrew, Nationals, Reds, game 1 of 162. What do we need to know about the season starter?
You got Josiah Gray on the mound, and that should be exciting. Obviously, he was drafted by the Reds. He returns to the team he played against to get started his first opening day. I was thinking Patrick Corbin for the last two seasons, so it should be a fun game. I think it's sort of giving fans a glimpse of the future. Josiah Gray is the starter and the McKenzie for the home opener. So a lot of excitement for Nats fans around those two starts.
Mixed results in spring training for Josiah Gray. Started off really well, but the walks are still there. A bit of a concern. Just confidence level. How are we feeling about Gray entering the season?
Yeah, I mean, I think the walks are always a concern, right? But in terms of reading too much into spring training statistics, I mean, it is spring training. Guys are tinkering, working different things. So I wouldn't read too much into it. Once we get into the games, I kind of want to see what he's doing there. But I don't typically read a ton into spring training starts, so we'll kind of see there.
What's the lineup going to look like, do you think?
At the top, obviously, you have C.J. Abrams and you have Lane Thomas. After that, it's interesting. It depends on the lefty or righty matchup. But I think with lefties, I think you could see, and David Martinez did this yesterday, have Jesse Winker and Eddie Rosario both in the lineup, both on the bench, and have Rosario on there. You could see Jesse Winker in that three spot, and I think you have Meneses, Gallo.
Andrew's phone is messing up. Let's throw him on hold and see if we can work that out.
So he was saying Jesse Winker in the three-hole slot behind Lane Thomas and all likelihood to start the season.
I saw, maybe it was FanGraphs, one of the lineup projections had that. I just didn't believe that because Jesse Winker shouldn't be hitting third. That was kind of where I was at on that.
Does that go as a policy?
Yeah. Jesse Winker being in the lineup is interesting enough. Him hitting third makes no sense, but that is what a lot of people have speculated. Why would Jesse Winker hit third? Andrew, you there?
Oh, yeah, I'm there. Yeah.
I was bringing you back
third.
On there.
Yeah. Okay. Great. Yeah. In terms of Winker hitting third, I mean, he was an All-Star a couple seasons ago, and when you look at his order, I think obviously you want lefties, righties, and kind of want that flip. So I think you're going to see Meneses in that four spot, then Gallo and then Ruiz. I think it takes some pressure off of some of the guys lower in the lineup. So I think you're going to give Winker a shot and hope maybe he can play back to the potential that he has. But it should be interesting. I could also see if Eddie Rosario gets a little bit more comfortable as the season progresses. Maybe you move Rosario up to that three spot. That would seem to make more sense to me given that he hit 21 homers a year ago. But we'll kind of see how it all plays out.
Any concern about Joey Gallo this spring? Didn't make a lot of contact. I think he hit about half his weight because he's a huge dude. Any worries about him?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you're definitely worried because he doesn't make a lot of contact. And obviously, you know, but the trade-off is that he hits a lot of homers, but he didn't do that this spring either. So I think it's definitely concerning. But we'll see how it is. Obviously, again, guys are trying to work the Kings out during opening day or you know, in the spring training ahead of the season. So we'll see how it all plays out, but definitely something to be concerned about for sure.
The brand new season begins. We'll be at Rudy's Golf for game one, Nats, Reds on the road in Cincinnati tomorrow. What are some of the storylines you're going to be tracking most closely in the early part of the year?
I'm really obviously looking at a couple of things. Obviously, first, Mackenzie Gore and Josiah Gray and even Jake Irvin. How did those guys take the next step forward? How did their offseason adjustments kind of pay off in the early portion of the season? I feel the same way about K-Bear Ruiz and his catching. Obviously, his framing, that's obviously a big storyline for me. And then obviously looking – I think the other thing, too, is C.J. Abrams, and is he the player that we saw in July or is he the player that we saw at the beginning of the season? So I think all that's interesting. And obviously the young prospect, too. I mean, like obviously you're keeping an eye on what happens on the field, but you're also kind of looking in the farm system and seeing what you have down there. So I think all that's really fascinating to me.
So if you were to enter a pool, Andrew, you had to pick two things. One, their first prospect of the big guns that gets called up and when. Who is it and when do they get called up?
Trey Lipscomb and give me like May. When I hear David Martinez talk about Trey and you hear him talk about Louis, it kind of seems like that's a move that he wants to happen at some point. But obviously, I just think when you look at Louis, like he has the potential and he has no options. So you want to give him a shot, but I think he's a really short leash. So my expectation would be it'd be Trey. If there's an injury, then you can never really predict, but just based off of what we know, I would say Trey.
Andrew, thanks, buddy. Enjoy tomorrow and the start of the season. Thank you very much.
I appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
All right. Love our guy on the Nats, covering them well for the Washington Post. Let's keep it moving. Steve Wino, Associated Press. So it looks like the Caps and the Wiz are not only staying in D.C., Virginia's fallen through completely, but they're striking a deal with D.C. I'm sure this is something you'll be covering throughout the day. What are you hearing?
Yeah, it sounds like $515 million from the city for the Capitals and Wizards to stay at Capital One Arena for the long term. The Virginia deal is done. Expecting some sort of announcement in the next few minutes here.
How did we get here? Obviously we know some of the big beats when it comes to Virginia, but this seemed to kind of, they came back to D.C. very quickly. Just last week, I think there were conversations with Maryland. This all seems to have gotten signed on the dotted line incredibly quickly, Swano.
Yeah, it feels like what happened was when Luis Lucas killed the deal in the Virginia legislature and basically said to Glenn Youngkin, we're not bringing this up for a vote, it was a matter of, okay, where else does Ted Leonsis and Monumental look now? And obviously talking on due diligence there. But it always seemed like if the Virginia thing didn't work out, the Miro Bowser and D.C.'s offer was still there. The Attorney General, Brian Schwab, even in his letter to Monumental last week, said, look, that offer still stands. It took a little negotiation between Monumental and D.C., but they got to an agreement that satisfied all parties and should allow everyone to save face with the team staying in Chinatown.
How do you think it'll be viewed? I mean, a lot of people were angry that Ted Leonsis tried to leave the city. They're staying in the city, but you know that's not really the end of it. I mean, people will never stop complaining about the attempt that he made to go get a better arena. So now what? I mean, and what? How long will he essentially be vilified by those people, do you think?
You know what, I think JP, time cures that a little bit. I mean, if once this agreement is done, it's going to take a little bit of work from Ted Leonsis to kind of regain the trust, I think, with the city and with fans about this. But the fact is, they're not moving. And for fans of teams like the Montreal Expos and the Winnipeg Jets or whoever, who've lost their teams over the years, not losing your team, and this is a different sort of situation. That's relocation versus leaving a city. But this didn't happen. And I think ultimately there'll be a sense of relief from a lot of the fan bases that this did not, that after all, happen. But, yeah, it's going to take a little bit of time for some trust to be regained here.
So on to actual matters of hockey, last night was awesome. Really, really fun. My question kind of continues to be the same. I'm having a blast watching, don't get me wrong, but how? How is this happening?
Yeah, you know what? Charlie Lindgren is how this is happening. And Alex Ovechkin scoring a lot of goals, and that's great. But Charlie Lindgren and Derek Lalonde, the Red Wings coach, said this last night. There's no goaltender in the league playing better than Charlie Lindgren right now. He's 8-2-0 in his last 10 games, a 9.29 save percentage, just over two goals against. And this Capitals have shown this season that if they can allow under three goals, they can win a lot of games. And because Charlie Lindgren is playing so well, the Capitals have been winning a lot of games and right now are on track to make the playoffs.
Ovechkin's renaissance has been incredible, but I think I've been more surprised, frankly, by how well the kids are playing. Mreshnichenko, LaPierre, McMichael creeping up on 20 goals. Did you see this coming, and how much credit should Spencer Carberry get for the development?
Yeah, I think a lot of credit Spencer Carberry for everything this team has done and really pushing all the right buttons. I mentioned this to you guys a few days ago, that every decision he's made in terms of thinking he had a strategy one way and kind of adjusting along the way has been great. But giving the kids an opportunity has happened just almost by default. Tom Wilson being suspended, Sonny Milano being injured, the trades of Anthony Mantha and Joel Edmondson have opened the door for Alex Alexiev, for Hendrix LaPierre, for Ivan Mirosnichenko, to show what they can do in the NHL, and the kids are proving that they deserve it. I think there's a little bit of organizational credit that Todd Nelson down in the Hershey Bear at the AHL deserves in putting these players in the right position to succeed, but also they've made the most of this opportunity up here, and you can see how to be one of the best players on this team moving forward beyond the season for several years.
So I know it does feel a little bit tenuous to me. Like, they're on fire right now. They're playing great. But you could see it. It was just the other day. I'm blanking on their opponent where they were totally out. I think it was Toronto where, the bell rang for seven goals and they were out. They just had no chance, it felt like, after the first puck dropped. So it still feels like we're kind of walking on the edge of a knife here. What could sort of bring this crashing down, MTV or VH1 Behind the Music style?
Well, look, if something happens to Charlie Lindgren, God forbid, an injury or his play falls off, this is the most team he's ever started an NHL season. I think that's one way it could happen. And injuries just all over the lineup could happen. It's not easy to win games in the NHL. If Alex Ovechkin goes cold all of a sudden and some of that goal scoring that wasn't there early in the season, some of the problem scoring goals reappear, that would be an issue for this team. But they really do, as Dylan Strome said last night, control their own chances of making the playoffs at this point. If they lose to Detroit, if they lose to some of these teams like Buffalo and Ottawa down the stretch, like they did to Arizona just before the trade deadline, this thing could come crashing down. But this is really in the Capitals' hands at this point.
Swano, thank you, buddy. We appreciate you.
Thanks, guys. Talk to you soon.
You got it. Let's keep the blitz going. Our guy Kevin Sheehan, the Kevin Sheehan Show, and our sister station across the hall on the Team 980. Kevin, what do you make of the news today? 5 p.m. presser, it sounds like, coming. We are hearing that the Capitals and Wizards are staying in D.C. on a new deal.
I'm thrilled personally, I think it's not a great look for Ted. He was tweeting out a storm earlier today about how, it's been a great week for revenue, the Luke Bryan concert, the ACC tournament, the big crowd last night for the Caps game. He obviously knew something was coming. I'm thrilled that they're staying in town because it's my city and I don't want the city to deteriorate with two professional sports teams leaving it. I also wonder what it means for, the football team's hopes of landing at RFK, because that's $500 million, assuming that they stick with their 11th hour deal right back in December of giving Ted $500 million. And I think they should, even though they've got more leverage now than they've ever had.
But it sounds like they're actually up in the offer. It's going to be at least $515 million they're giving them.
Good. I think they're getting a second swing, here at this thing, another bite at the apple, and they shouldn't, they shouldn't leverage that because they should feel lucky that this opportunity fell apart in Virginia. But I do wonder what it means for the football team at RFK, because they're going to get Maryland's best push, and it may end up being a more attractive deal in terms of hard dollars towards the stadium.
What's your take there on that, Kevin? I just, now, if they go to National Harbor, I'm not an engineer. I have no idea if that's even feasible, but if there's some land around that part or it's close to the river, you could start talking to me. But I can't. I just think it would be such a loss. I don't care what the deal is at Landover. That's just the losing site. And I don't know whether, you know, if people can get over that. I know I can't. If they end up there, I'm still not going. To me, it's D.C., someplace in Virginia, although politics will never allow that to happen, apparently, or maybe something else, National Harbor. But I cannot do that Landover part of the world again. Where are you at on that?
Well, the issue, Danny, is they own the land there. So, you know, the land's not going to cost them anything. So yeah. The whole deal there, if they get a big push from the state in terms of dollars, it may cost them. It may be the best deal they have by miles. But I'm with you. I want it at the RFK site. I want it in the city. You know, it's going to come down to whether or not they come up with an offer that would be taxpayer funded. You know, this is not Stan Kroenke, who's going to pay for this stadium with every cent that he has, because he just spent $6 billion and needed 20-plus investors to get that deal done. But I'm with you. D.C. is the right answer for 90% of the people that care about this team.
Kevin, as always, we appreciate you, buddy. Be good.
All right, guys. Talk soon.
Thank you, sir.
Catch up soon. There's Kevin Sheehan on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. Let's get reactions from you guys next on the MGM National Harbor listener lines. After weeks of discussing the possibility of a move for the Caps and the Wiz to Virginia, Virginia is not happening. It's official. D.C. is not only the home of the team in the short term, but it sounds like the long term as well. And an announcement could be coming of more than $500 million being given from the mayor to Monumental to stay where they are and continue to operate in the district. Grant and Danny on The Fan.
We participated in the legislative process in Richmond as it represented the necessary first step towards the important community conversation about this project. With stagnant revenue growth that is strained to meet the costs of education, public safety, human services, transportation, and infrastructure, that conversation would have allowed us to consider how a project of this scale could support our plans for growth and our community's future. We are disappointed that this proposal was not able to be thoughtfully considered on its merits by legislators, stakeholders, and ultimately now by our community, and instead got caught up in partisan warfare in Richmond. As a result, the City of Alexandria will no longer be considering the current proposal and will instead turn our focus to other efforts to bring quality commercial opportunities to the community in the future, to both diversify our tax base and protect our quality of life.
That's the mayor of Alexandria, Justin Wilson. Welcome back to Grant and Danny on The Fan. If you are just jumping in the car, leaving the office, or maybe you saw the news and turned on the radio today, the Wizards and the Capitals are not only not going to Virginia, but this happened quickly. Sounds like they are staying in D.C. for the long haul. Man. There is a deal being struck to get them $500-plus million, the money that they'd wanted originally, that D.C. said they weren't going to give them. Then they called D.C.'s bluff and went to Virginia with these plans with Glenn Youngkin, of course. That got shut down by Senator Louise Lucas. So now Alexandria says, we're not going to continue to fight over this. We're out. And the Wizards are going back to D.C. to get $500 million to renovate 27-year-old Capital One Arena.
Just as we all thought in December when they announced this was happening, right? I mean, man, oh man, what a unbelievable journey we've gone on to, they're going to renovate Capital One Arena. If that was the announcement in December, okay, 5 minutes, what should they add? Some HVAC, a couple more bathrooms, maybe like another place to get a hot dog or something. Now we've gone through an odyssey. Can you think about the journey we've gone on?
It is impossible to get a stadium here. It is impossible. Everywhere else, I just watch TV and see new stadiums built, new stadiums coming, new stadiums going to be here, new arenas going to be there. They're just constantly being constructed, deals being struck, the Bills in like 3 hours, decided they wanted one, then got their deal done, and then somehow finished the stadium within 3 hours. They're just playing in it. The game kicked off, and by the end of the game, they had a new stadium. Years go by here. Mm-hmm. Where are the Commanders going to be playing? We have no idea. Can't figure it out?
Well, Bruce Allen's on top of it. He's lobbying right now on their behalf.
They can't get the land in D.C. because of some long, ridiculous, who owns the land isn't D.C., and they got to get it back, and then they'll fight over if they give it to you or not. So this has been years of this. They're going to have to stay at FedEx Field past their lease.
Yuck.
Because it took so long. And we still don't know. Josh Harris yesterday told the media, we got to draw up a blueprint for Virginia, for Maryland, for D.C. We got no idea where we're going to end up. Only here.
Only here.
Brand new arena. Sounds pretty exciting, right? 4 miles from your old arena. State-of-the-art facilities. Maybe you're able to lure a great NBA player to your town for once. Everyone fought about it. Livid, angry, how dare.
Three municipalities arguing, trying to land the stadium or the teams, in theory at least. At least overtures like they want them, and nobody can. You know what I mean? Like, it's so weird.
I'm the crazy guy. I get yelled at on Twitter all day, every night.
I know.
Because I am crazy enough as a sports fan to go to a lot of games and want something nice. And I'm not saying Capital One Arena is terrible, by the way. I go there more than 85% of people probably that are listening right now. I'm there all the time. I like Capital One Arena. It's a fine arena. There's nothing wrong with it. But in the same way that there's nothing wrong with my car, if you came along and said, hey, here's a 2024 Tesla that smells brand new, would you like to take this?
I got this Aston Martin for you.
And I'm the crazy person. How dare you want a new arena? It's not like Capital One Arena is 14 years old. We're creeping up on 30 years old, and you can't build out. We're on a lot where you can't expand. You can't add a room. You can't really go up. You could just kind of switch out the kitchen and put a new one in, and they'll be working on that with their $500 million. But I do want to say, and I mean this, my first takeaway way, 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 way back when we first heard they could go to Virginia was that I thought it would be terrible for D.C. if that happened. And that I thought it would be crippling to the neighborhood surrounding the arena. And I'm talking about Penn Quarter specifically. Mm-hmm. So for the restaurant owners and the businesses right around there, many of which right now are closed.
Yeah, those that are still left.
Because 49% of people and foot traffic that were there pre-COVID are there now. What a day this is. And that's the win here. That's what I feel good about. That's what I'm happy about. That neighborhood has given me memories my entire life with my father and now with my kids, three generations of Paulsons, if you will, on 7th and F Street in Chinatown, watching games, going to games. And I'm very happy for that neighborhood and those business owners because, frankly, really the only way to have a quick recovery in Penn Quarter specifically and maybe the city at large is probably with the teams being there. They need these teams. They need the revenue generated. The teams are huge for that neighborhood, just like they'd have been huge for Alexandria. I don't get why I'm the crazy one who thinks that, you know, that money coming in and all those people being there and spending and going to the restaurants around there, that it's not good for the surrounding area. But I'm really, really happy for that neighborhood because we all know what it was before the team got there, the teams, and we know what it is now comparative to when it was kind of at its apex. I don't know, what would you say, 10, 12 years ago?
Yeah.
Maybe
it,
even
like,
less?
Like 04 through 2016, 2017.
So that's what I'm happy about. And I'm happy that as someone who cares about D.C.'s health and well-being, a city that we all claim, Virginia claims it, Maryland claims it, D.C. proper, right, the DMV, Washington, D.C. is important. And today is a good day for the city, and so for that, I feel good about that.
Yeah, the end result gets you there, right? So how you got there, there's plenty of blame to go around. Like, there's plenty of missteps. And, you know, D.C. should be thanking its lucky stars, leadership, folks up at the top here, should be thanking its lucky stars that Virginia has whatever it has in terms of this complicated political process, that they couldn't get their ducks in a row. Because you had, as motivated a bipartisan group to come in and do something in Virginia, it just simply hasn't been able to do ever. And it looked really, really good. And you were beaten. You were buried 6 feet under, right? But like Beatrix Kiddo and Kill Bill, training from Pai Mei, punched your way out of the grave and came right back. You got very, 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 very lucky. It wasn't through competence. It wasn't through excellent planning, strategic movements. It wasn't through all the levers that you pulled. It was blind luck that it worked out for you.
Yeah. I think that people think I just want to get the team out of the city. Wrong. I want a new arena. There's just no land anywhere to build it in D.C. If I find out today that they're building it at the RFK site, I guess I'll be salty because I want the Commanders there desperately and badly.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think they can both be there. But if they're building something new and incredible and awesome and state-of-the-art with all the great technologies and amenities of the great arenas and stadiums in the country, that's a gigantic win. That's what I want. It just so happens that the land is not in the city.
Mm-hmm.
The land is in Virginia and Maryland. That's why I said if they went out to... I know you're not a fan of, like, and I get it. I'm not necessarily either. But if they built something new and immaculate and amazing out by FedEx Field, if FedEx leaves, like, that to me is intriguing. I want something new and awesome that isn't 30-plus years old and aging.
So I care a lot less about, like, Tedville, the Panera Bread that has to kick him a percentage of sales tax to stay there. I don't care about that. I need the best facilities in the sport. I need the state-of-the-art training stuff. I need the basketball practice not to take place 6.5 miles away in a neighborhood that folks aren't that excited to go to. I need the hockey team not to be training, you know, just inside the Beltway and then for games go somewhere else. The logistics are outdated and ridiculous. I want the whole thing to be there on campus. I want the sports information department right there, the R&D department right there. I want state-of-the-art facilities in this arms race trying to compete at the highest level in one of the most competitive fields that we have, which is professional sports. I care about winning so much. That's a path to help you in a really, really challenging environment.
Yeah.
In order to get that, the byproduct is like, I don't know, you buy a coffee and 12 cents goes to Ted. Fine. I don't care about that as much.
So I completely agree with everything you just said. I'll add, though, you called it Tedville. This is, I guess, a Glendome thing we're doing.
I just meant like the big campus right. Where everybody's there. Yeah.
I do care about that as someone who goes to a lot of games. Mm-hmm. The experience is the whole deal. Now, at this moment, my kids are 5 as of yesterday and 3 and 8 months old, right? So it's not like we can go spend a full day. We're in, we're out. And in the neighborhood currently, we're not walking around for several blocks to go find restaurants or anything. We go, we park, we go to the game, we probably eat there. But in a perfect world, like Nats Park right now, we're coming down to the Navy Yard. We are going to any of 15 restaurants that we feel like going to that day. Maybe we'll go get some pizza over on the water. Maybe we're going to go to Walter's Sports Bar and get some chicken wings. Maybe we want to go to the burger joint right here on Half Street that I love so much with the proper burger. It's called Duke's Grocery.
Duke's Grocery.
I got 20 options. I got bars. If I want to go to a chain, I got a B-dubs. If I want to go to Tom's Watch Bar because they got good TVs, I got a bunch of options. So me and the kids and my wife will sit there and we'll go. To say that like that's irrelevant to the experience, just as long as Nats Park has everything the Nats need, I think that's crazy. Like if you go to a lot of games, what's awesome about coming to Nats games is the bullpen and the Navy Yard and the whole experience.
Well, so let me rephrase. I like having those options. I don't care that Ted owns them or not. That's what I mean. Like Ted wants a campus where those businesses that you just mentioned are on his campus. I don't care about that part. That's for him to make a lot of money. That's not interesting to me.
Sure. I don't care who owns what. The Learners own a lot of these buildings.
Mm-hmm.
Frankly, I've never once looked, do the Learners own this? I'm curious. Who owns this building that Walters is in? I want a cheeseburger and fries. I don't give a damn who's making money off of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I want my cheeseburger and I want Nats baseball. So the town center idea, that's the future, man.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it so happens as an owner, you can't make money off of PSLs with seats or RSNs with TV deals. So you do need to put your finger in all those pies, and that's fine, and we can have that conversation. But for me, I want cool places to go watch games. That's what the whole thing's about to me. And when I saw the footprint of and the plan for Virginia, I was really excited. It's a better thing than what I currently have. I know I'm crazy.
weirdo.
Going to this new, brand new, unbelievable car with getting to go in the car that smells new that has 0 miles on it. I was excited by that. But I got great memories at Cap One. I'll just keep going to a lot of games. It doesn't matter. It's not like it's a bad venue. I want to stress that. It's fine. There's nothing wrong with it. And when they dump $500 million into it, it's not going to be quickly, but little by little over time, they'll upgrade this room.
I wonder how much of a difference it'll make for the rank and file, because it sounds like they wanted a lot more luxury items and stuff.
They put it a couple $100 million supposedly into it over the last several years.
Yeah.
I don't really notice a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, just as an example, like the people who have the best seats in the house right now, they have this like beautiful little lounge area where they can go eat and drink and get their beer and stuff before the game.
Mm-hmm.
It's on an old practice court with just curtains like hung. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
Now they've dressed it up and it looks fine and they've got cool lights and I've eaten down there. It's amazing. It's a really, really cool spot. But my point is that there's not like a designed area for that. They've just literally taken where the Wizards, where Gilbert Arenas used to get in fights, you know, with Etan Thomas or, you know, him and Brendan Haywood used to tackle each other.
Etan and Brendan used to scuffle.
Exactly. What do you guys think, though? 800-636-1067 is the number. Sounds like the Wiz and the Caps aren't going anywhere. They're staying in the district. Grant and Danny on the Fan. The Capitals and the Wizards are staying in the nation's capital, the most powerful city in the world. Washington, D.C. will continue to be home to our NBA and NHL team. Nothing wrong with our sports teams being in the district. $500 million being dumped into Capital One Arena moving forward. We're expected to hear from Ted Leonsis at some point. Today, it sounds like Virginia has come out and issued a statement saying they are officially out. And the mayor and Ted Leonsis have apparently struck a deal to stay in the city. We're getting your reactions right now on Grant and Danny. Let's go to Gary and Lorton. What's up, Gary?
Hey, guys. How's it going today?
Good, buddy.
Good, sir.
Danny, you're a funny dude.
Oh, well, thank you.
Hey, look, man. I'm opinions, you know, everybody's got one. You know what they say about that? Everybody's
Yes, we do.
Okay, so look, check this out. If they had proposed, which won't happen because basketball and hockey arenas pretty much go together. Had they proposed a hockey facility, just hockey arena, 50-50, maybe lower, they possibly could have got it in there. Once you throw in basketball in that area, those people got money. I don't know if are you guys familiar with that area, Delray, the Potomac Yard?
Oh, yeah.
Those people. They live good over there, and they like it like that. They got the YMCA. They got their own little special parks, pickleball, tennis courts over there. They don't want that. They. What is the number one? What is one of the number one complaints where they are now? Crime. They don't want it. They barely let Amazon headquarters. I'm talking quality jobs. They barely let them get in there.
The only thing I would say to that, though, is this didn't not happen because of Alexandria. Alexandria was full speed ahead, it would appear.
No, but Grant, you know, Alexandria, once again, Alexandria got played. Just like they did with 25 years ago with the Redskins.
I understand that. I get what you're saying, but your previous point was the people around there don't want it. That's irrelevant.
Why do you think they didn't do it?
Well, I know why they didn't do it, because one senator wouldn't allow them to even vote on it.
But people vote for their representatives. Trust me, if there'd have been enough calls from the people.
But she's been in
play
power for a couple
years.
I don't think she ran on not allowing an arena in Virginia that nobody knew about when she was running.
An Alexandria resident can call whoever they want. She's from Portsmouth. So
sure.
If the Portsmouth folks were dissatisfied, maybe they'd have called the bunch,
but I don't think they want the Commanders at RFK Stadium. All the people that live right around RFK Stadium, or a lot of them. They're still probably ending up there, right? I would imagine if you went back in time, there were a lot of people on 7th and F Streets or in that Penn Quarter neighborhood that didn't want Capital One Arena. That's an old tale there.
Yeah.
Tale
as old as time.
Yeah. Time has, I would say, given us a lot of examples of not wanting something right near you. You're inconvenienced. And I think that's true. I got texts from a couple. I got a buddy I'm texting with now who lived there. I got another friend who still lives there who's sending me champagne bottles today. They're happy about it. That's fine. That individual neighborhood, those couple of neighborhoods, which, by the way, there's a lot of diversity over there, and people of all backgrounds, I would say. It's not just a bunch of people that make $400,000. But, I don't know. I don't think that whether the locals wanted it or not had anything to do with this thing getting off the rails.
There were a few folks that were angry about anything, and that's happened. The anti-monumental cheerleaders or whatever you want to call them, they were doing their normal set of protests. You had a pretty unanimous local and then governor handshake support thing. This was full steam ahead until it met the legislative process.
The mayor of Alexandria just put out a statement, made it very clear how badly they tried to make this happen. Let's go to Chris in Hyattsville on G&D. What's up, buddy?
What's up, man? I was going to do some shtick and, you know, sing the celebrate song, but I'm not going to pour salt in your wound, Grant. You know,
I'm fine. I've been going to Capital One Arena my whole life. I'll keep going.
Well, to me, this is the only person that wins in this scenario is Leonsis. I mean, he got what he wanted. He basically threatened to end the relationship unless, you know, he got the kitchen refinished or, you know, and DC is coming around. So he got $500 million to fix his already, you know, perfectly fine arena, in my opinion.
It's 27 years old. I mean, you need to keep spending to keep it perfectly fine.
Okay. It wouldn't, like, unbeknownst to, like, it would be so unusual for an owner to spend his own money to fix his asset.
Well, I mean, he's spent a couple hundred million already.
Okay. Either way, I don't think that anyone loses necessarily in this situation except for the taxpayers in D.C. And I think Leonsis comes away like, you know, maybe he didn't get what he wanted entirely, but he's still getting $500 million.
Yeah, it's a nice consolation prize to have a city that said we can't give you a dime to give you actually just over $500 million.
Do those taxpayers in D.C. benefit from the arena staying there?
I think they benefit only from not having lost that revenue.
Right, well, but the arena's either there or it isn't.
They benefit from it now.
Do they benefit from the arena staying there and keeping a neighborhood from bottoming out?
Only in the context that if you remove it, yes, there would be a vacuum created. But do they actually benefit in terms of, I don't know, better schools, better health care services, better roads because of the stadium being there? I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not smart enough to know that answer either. You got to rely on people that you elect to make good decisions with the money that's generated. I can't help you with that. But I would say DC's better off by having the arena there. And if you're Ted Leonsis, a business person who has a 27-year-old arena, and you're not getting help to continue to update and have a good arena that people want to come to, it's not crazy to look around and go, where can I have a better arena and have a business deal that works for me?
Yeah, business person trying to conduct good business is not a crazy concept. I know that really bothers some people, but, you know, as if there's some sort of different kind of, standard that we should set. But, yeah, him trying to flirt and get a better deal from a different municipality is not insane. It would be terrible if you took him out of this region altogether. If they moved to St. Louis, then, I'll never forgive you. You'll join the list of the Art Modells, the Bob Shorts, and all the other guys that have robbed the city of things.
Some of the greatest memories of my entire life have taken place at Capital One Arena. Now, some of my most excruciating moments have as well, by the way. Right?
Yeah, I think I'm probably in the net negative overall.
Some of those overtime losses for the Caps were tough. Some of those embarrassing Wizards performances, maybe. But watching them win the Stanley Cup in a suite at Capital One Arena with my mom and family members that our guy Tailgate Ted allowed us to come sit with him and watch that game at that 20,000 people were there being at so many games, 400 level and all over the arena for Capitals playoff games over the years, including the cup run, by the way. Being outside on 7th and F Streets with thousands of our closest friends. That was one of the coolest experiences ever. So we see what it can look like when everybody is there for the teams and the community is thriving and people are being brought together. Hopefully we're going to get an official comment from Leonsis here early this coming hour. Grant and Danny with you. Massive news in D.C. sports today. The Caps and the Wiz are not only not going to Virginia, they are striking a new deal to stay in D.C. for the long term. We're continuing to cover this on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.